Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. And we're not quite done yet. As I walked through the aisle here, I heard a little kid say, "Are we done yet?" Not quite. Not quite done. Anyhow, you may turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5, continuing in the Sermon of the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, our verses for today are verses 38 to 42, just a few verses. Matthew 5, 38 to 42, I'll read them here. "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two. And give to him who asked you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." I've been reading this quite a bit between wherever we live here, 2,500 feet to 11,500 feet. Been reading this passage up and down different elevations in the last few weeks. And I was reading this passage and pondering it as we had camp out. And so when the gentleman from camp out asked for a volunteer, I quickly went up front because I was studying this passage, wondering what to glean any little extra I could as he talked about this a little bit at camp out. So again, we look at this Sermon on the Mount. This is a sermon that the disciples heard again and again and again. This was the sermon. This is what Jesus would preach as he went to the synagogues around Bethlehem and Judea and up into Jerusalem. This was the sermon that was repeated, the Sermon on the Mount. There's a brief description of each chapter that Matthew Henry gives. And just a sentence out of his description for Matthew 5. This is what Matthew Henry says about Matthew chapter 5. He said, "It is a practical discourse. There is not much of the credenda of Christianity in it, the things to be believed, but is wholly taken up with the agenda, the things to be done." In other words, Jesus does not spend much time and energy telling us what to believe. Most of the words and teaching from Jesus in Matthew 5 are centered around him telling us exactly what to do. And it is true that we must take into account the whole Word of God. For works and faith are a balance, grace and truth are a tightrope. But this morning we get 100% all instructions in what to do, how to live, how to respond to the world around us, whether friend or foe. We get instruction this morning. And Jesus begins our verses today with, in the beginning of verse 38, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' And I can see the scribes and Pharisees with crossed arms nodding in agreement." This was the teaching from all the way back in Moses. And this was the acceptable practice of the Jewish folks for hundreds of years. This is how life was done by the children of Israel. An eye for an eye. It's listed in Exodus 21:24, Leviticus 24:20. Deuteronomy 19:21. This is how they lived together as a nation and as a neighbor and as a friend. You could not ask more of your brother than what was equally lost or damaged. Fair. An eye for an eye was a controlled, calculated response. But an eye for an eye was not for pagans. was not for enemies. An eye for an eye was for the children of Israel, one big, happy, fair family. And then Jesus takes what has worked for hundreds of years, centuries, and dumps it upside down. And Jesus says in verse 39, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." And the Sadducees and the Pharisees dropped their arms and said, "What? What a strange new thought. What a weird teaching." I noticed that Jesus puts the neighbor and the evil person in the same boat. An eye for an eye was for the nation of Israel. This is what Moses commanded. This was the law. As in, you know, they could do whatever they wanted with their enemies. But here Jesus raises the bar for not only treating your neighbor with undue grace, as in turning the other cheek, but Jesus adds here not to resist an evil person. An evil person was a foreigner, someone from outside the nation of Israel. Jesus said that you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Jesus transcends the culture and the custom and broadens his kingdom to include the whole world. There's no one missing, almost, between your neighbor and an evil person, right? Is there anybody else? Did he miss anyone? Jesus broadened his kingdom to include the whole world. And when we are a member of his kingdom, these are the guidelines that he gives us to live by. "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asked you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Now that we've heard his kingdom instructions, we find our flesh asking, well, you know, what does he really mean? Is Jesus literally serious here? Is this really how Jesus expects us to live and potentially die? I mean, is this a teaching that, you know, this is the way we should do it, but it's okay if we do the non-resistant thing and the cheek thing, maybe we do it a little differently than he said? Is that okay? This is where our flesh often ponders, you know, where's the line for the kingdom? You know, I want to be in, but, you know, where's the line where, I mean, so if I hit somebody, I can ask forgiveness, right? That's how it works, right? And these are the questions of our flesh. And we know the questions. We've thought those questions. But I'm not here to answer those questions this morning. In fact, if you need, and if you demand, and if you require that those questions be answered, I humbly present to you that maybe you should shed some of your own flesh first before requiring the Christ, the Son of God, to answer fleshly questions. These requirements of living to Christ's standard are not fleshly, although they are to be accomplished in our flesh. They are not composed or begotten of our flesh, and yet we are to practice them in our flesh. These standards go beyond our individual ability to complete in and of ourselves. To fulfill and live out these guidelines from verses 39 to 42, there is a transformation that is required first. A transformation of our hearts so that our spirit can connect to His spirit. And how do I know this? Because I can't do this without help. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And to him who asked from you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. If there were 2 ounces of my flesh in me, I couldn't do those things. We need His Spirit and His helper, the Holy Spirit, to be able to accomplish these guidelines in Christ's kingdom. Part of my assignment in preaching is opening the Word to you and to help with understanding, dividing the Word. Sometimes this means giving answers in and to our flesh so that we can understand and apply Holy Scripture more and better in our lives. And to that end, I will assert a reasonable observation from this text. Something that I observed in reading this over and over and over and over again. This observation that Jesus is speaking to you personally. Just you. If you highlight or if you circle you and your as I go through these references. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well, also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asked you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This is a very personal passage. He's not talking to family, and he's not talking to friends or church or a community. Jesus is speaking directly to you. You are his audience. Many folks have used these verses to assert that under any circumstance we should not resist an evil person. In this context, I don't see that's exactly correct, 100% true. I'm sorry, this might be a new thought for you, but in the context of Jesus speaking to you individually, it doesn't necessarily say not to resist under any circumstance. The context is that if you personally are slapped or sued, you are not to resist. It doesn't say anything about resisting for another's sake. Now, does this open the door for us to arm and defend ourselves? No. No, I don't think so. God is our defender, and He is our refuge. In the same way that we cannot get hung up on this verse alone, we cannot forget, again, the rest of Scripture and the Spirit that God's Word reveals to us about His kingdom. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't even understand the concept of eternity, and yet that is where our God lives. So I do have some short practical statements. To your flesh, if you feel the grace to carry pepper spray, carry pepper spray. To your spirit, as long as your hope is not in your pepper spray. To your flesh, if you have the grace to call upon law enforcement when you are in peril, call the police. But to your flesh, I'm sorry, to your spirit, as long as your hope is not in the uniform that shows up, there's a difference. I could go on and on, but you get the picture. Let's look at the last part of verse 39 again. It says, "But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Another observation from this text is that we learned, again, at campout from our speaker, that the slap in this context was an offense, a cultural slap on the face, a backhand to show disgust towards another person. And again, in this context, they did not see this verse applying to a brutal physical attack. Some folks would read this and believe that we should never resist any brutal attack at all, and I cannot deduct that logically from these verses as I understand the context of this verse. Does this open the door for us to arm and defend ourselves and our families? Not at all, in light of the entirety of Scripture. Through these accounts, we can see a much clearer picture of our assignment of kingdom living. And we can easily deduct that no, we are not to arm and defend ourselves and our families as we look at the entirety of Christ and the example of his life and his death and his disciples. And you can ask, well, how can you say that? If these verses are just about our own personal experiences, and if these verses are about our personal affronts and not an all-out physical attack, wouldn't it be okay to arm and defend ourselves? And I have to look again at the author of these words. We have to try to understand who he was. And we have to look at how did he live? How did Jesus live? Turn with me to Matthew 6, just a few pages on. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Brothers and sisters, this is the founding principle on being able to turn the other cheek, being able to give your tunic to one who takes your cloak, to be able to go 2 miles when asked to go just one, to be able to give to those who ask and not to turn away the borrower. You are able to accomplish these things when you have not laid up your treasures on earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I know what that feels like. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's true. You save and you amass a little bit and you invest it in something. It's really hard for your heart not to be there. No matter what it is, whether it's a piece of ground in the mountains or whether it's a little stash of silver or a little stash of gold, it takes effort to make sure that your heart is not where your treasure is. you are able to complete the verses that we have today from Matthew 5 when you've not laid up your treasures on earth. You can most easily complete these tasks that we've been given today when your treasures are in heaven and not on earth. Jesus spoke this. And I asked, did he live it? And the answer is, yes, he did. Say it with me, yes, he did. Say it with me, yes, he did. Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, this is the prayer at Gethsemane after the Last Supper, right before Jesus was arrested. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 36, and Jesus came and said, and then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And so he left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And so I say, how can we accomplish the instructions for living found in Matthew 5, 38 to 42? How can we? By submitting to God our Father's will for our lives. This is the second founding principle, to be able to complete the tasks given to us. Being able to give your tunic when someone asks for your cloak, being able to turn the other cheek, being able to go 2 miles instead of just one, being able to give to those who ask and not turning away a borrower. You are able to complete these things daily when you submit to your Heavenly Father's will. We cannot really accomplish this in our own will, not a little bit. Not a little bit of our will can be present to accomplish this task. And Jesus spoke this. Did he live it? Say it with me. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus lived it. Turn with me to John chapter 18. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And again, the question is, how can we accomplish this task presented to us from Matthew chapter 5? We must recognize where we are going. And brothers and sisters, our kingdom and our forever home is not in this world. We must recognize our destination. This is the third principle, to be able to turn the other cheek, to be able to give your tunic when someone takes your cloak, to be able to go 2 miles when somebody wants you to go one, to be able to give to whoever asks of you, and to be able to not turn away a borrower. To be able to do that, we need to recognize where we are going. We have to be able to keep our focus on eternity. When we focus here, we cannot complete those tasks. We have to be focused on forever, on eternity. Jesus spoke this. Did he live it? Say it with me. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I could go on with examples from the life and death of Jesus Christ. He lived and he died to show us a different, very, very different, non-selfish, you could say non-flesh way to live. And this way of life and death was closely replicated by his disciples. And we have record of that. In fact, all of these men died for and because of the truth that Jesus proclaimed. The truth of himself as the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is what all the disciples died for. The telling of the story of Jesus. They died for the telling of the story of Jesus. You see, this world will not blink if you resist an evil person. This world would expect you to hit somebody back. The world and its courts are full of lawsuits. The world wouldn't think anything if you countersued someone who was trying to sue you. The world wouldn't mind at all if you refused to carry anybody's burden that wasn't yours. The world would not care if you gave nothing to someone who asked. And the world knows that everyone hates a borrower. But I tell you, Jesus says, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asked you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. For when you do these things, you are telling the story of Jesus. For when you do these things, you are telling the story of Jesus. For when you do these things, you are telling the story of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, we again are humbled by your word. God, we are humbled by your example. We are humbled by the example of the disciples, how they lived and died for you. God, you have given us a tall task of how to live today. God, we recognize that we cannot do it upon our own strength. We need your will. We need to get rid of our flesh. We need to be able to become more like you to accomplish this, God. Pray that we would have strength to do your will. Pray that we would have strength to accomplish your tasks. Pray that we would be always able to keep our eyes focused on eternity. May the world be blurry and heaven be in focus always. God, again, give us strength for this day. And give us the ability to journey on. And God, we pray for the food. It is nourishment to our hands and to our feet, so that we are able to accomplish the task that you've given us. Give us strength from this food that we're about to partake of together, that we would be able to serve you with our flesh, God. And God, pray that the spiritual food that we have received this morning, pray that it would settle into our hearts, that it would take hold, that it would root, and that it would grow, so that we could too, so that we too are able to tell your story. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the chorister come and lead us in closing song?